Hey there, and thanks for joining us for this episode of 13. This is part 3 of a 5-part series. If you haven't listened to the first 2 episodes, go back and do that first. We'll be here when you get back. And as always, if you don't want to wait for the weekly releases, the entire series is already available on Patreon, all 5 episodes. So join up at patreon.com/13pod for the entire series right now, along with a ton of other great rewards. And speaking of Patreon, we want to thank our new patrons. But again, since we're recording these in advance, here's Ian from the future to tell you about our amazing new patrons.
We'd like to thank new patrons, Sailor Sushi, Amanda Mayhew, Mallory Hancock, Hobo Bobo, Habitual Bed Farter Again, Steven, Dilzia Olivero, Mateus, Rob, Brandy Moore, Audrey McLeod, Lee Bundy, Chad Clements, GB, Primrose Path, Logan, Sir Thomas One, Jennifer DeRoss, Jana Stewart, Lizzie Crowley, and Pat Arnold. Thank you so much for your support. If you'd like to hear your name immortalized in audio, or if you'd like access to other perks like ad-free episodes, exclusive merch, and over 4 years of Patreon-exclusive stories, including the next 2 episodes in this series, then you should check us out on Patreon, too. Just click the link below in the show notes to learn more. For mysterious reasons, this will be the last time we read the names of patrons in the October series. If you sign up after you're hearing this, then we'll get you on the first one for November. For now, we're going to be back to Brooke from the past.
Actually, it's Bridget. Just a reminder, we do content warnings at the bottom of our show notes. So please check that out by scrolling all the way to the bottom of the show notes. If you don't think you're in the right headspace for this series, please take care and pass it by for now. You can always come back later.
This is part 3 of The Secret Game, written by me, Ian Epperson, narrated by Brooke Jeanette. Kaylee is Shelby Novak. Abby is Kayla Timshev. Mrs. Lander is Emma Shajarko. Jess is Carly Coulihan. And Emma is Abigail Blythe. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights, and now, on with the show.
When we were still in middle school, we would sometimes do a sleepover at Jess's house. Her neighborhood was in town by the river, and there was an old railroad line that wasn't used anymore. It was on the edge of the neighborhood, separating it from the next one over. We used to sneak out and go walking down the rail line. And a few minutes down the line, the ground beneath us started its downhill slide toward the river. In front of us was the old railroad bridge that spanned the Ohio River.
What if a train comes?
There haven't been trains on this line since before we were born.
But still, what if one comes while we're on the bridge?
There are literal trees growing up between the tracks. A train couldn't get here even if it wanted to.
Even though there were literally trees growing between the rails, making the tracks impassable, the thought was always in the back of my mind that somehow, some way, we'd get stuck in the middle of the bridge and hear a rumble under our feet and see a single bright white light coming out of the trees. But of course, it never did. Under the cover of night, we'd walk the bridge, first over the last couple streets of town before getting to the water. Then, over the river itself. We were maybe 40, 50 feet up. And up there, it felt so much higher than it looked from the ground. When we finally got to the other side, we'd climb down to a rocky bank on the other side of the river. There was nothing over there, just forest and rocks on the edge of the water. At night, the river felt even wider than usual. We'd rest for a while after the long walk across the bridge, snapping photos with those disposable cameras. I imagined someone on the Kentucky side of the river seeing the flash, a little burst of light against the dark trees. We would stay over there for a long time, as long as we thought we could get away with. The lights from our town, reflecting off the black water. It was Thursday morning. Abby stayed with me until the sun rose. We searched the house, looking for any evidence of what I'd seen. Maybe it was an elderly neighbor who wandered into the wrong house, just like my mom had gotten lost a few months before. But that didn't make any sense. How did she get inside? Where did she go? I was just looking for a reason to believe in something else. We sat in the living room, and I told her about how this had happened when I was in high school. I'd wake up to hear the closet door creaking open. Then, I'd see a face peek out, and it would cross in front of my bed and leave the room. How I'd panic and cry and scream, and how my mom would comfort me. I told her about other things, how I felt like I saw faces in the windows, across the room and from the corner of my eye. She told me that it was happening to her too. For Abby, it was her dad. It started around the same time that mine did, the summer before high school. It happened with phones for her, at least at first. She'd get a call while she was home alone after school. Her dad, telling her he'd be late. But then, he would arrive on time. The first time, she didn't even mention it. After all, sometimes plans change. It was the 90s, and you didn't always call or text about every little change in the day. The second time, she did mention it. She said something innocuous like, "I thought you were running late." And he gave her a look and asked, "Where'd you get that idea?" That kept on, every now and then for a long time. Not often enough to feel like a problem, just like the strange things that happened to me when I was a kid. Later, Abby said the phone calls started happening while he was home. She'd hear his voice in the handset, even as he was sitting across the room. Then, it started in the mirrors. She'd see a sinister version of him behind her. A chill went up my spine as I remembered what I used to see in the mirror, what I thought had been my imagination. Mom, peeking around the edge of the bathroom door while I was getting ready for school, when she was supposed to be gone for work already. Only to turn around and find that she wasn't actually there. It had stopped for a while, at least I thought it had. But now, it was happening again. Everything I'd pushed out of my mind, the things I would see out of the corner of my eye, shrugging it off as my overactive imagination. Another thought crossed my mind. Had little things like that been happening all along? And somewhere along the way, I'd stopped letting myself believe in it. Is that why I liked living in apartment buildings, where I knew that other people were close? By this point, the sun was coming up. We glanced at the bathroom at the end of the hall, as if we were sharing the same thought. I gave her a shrug, and she gave me a nod. We crept down the hall to the bathroom. Those very first rays of morning light hadn't made it to the hallway. And when we reached the end and stepped into the bathroom, we stared at our reflections, not exactly sure what we were looking for. Maybe we were waiting for one or both of those figures to show themselves. They didn't. Everything was in order. Everything was as it should be. Something Abby said had struck me. She said that all of this started happening the summer before high school, the same time that it did for me. It was a crazy thought, absolutely insane, but that's when I played the mirror game at home alone, when I asked if we were all going to be friends forever. But there was no one there to form a circle with, no one to share a secret. I hadn't done what I was supposed to do, to protect myself from whatever spirits we thought the game was conjuring. The thought of asking the question out loud to Abby made me cringe, but I did it anyway.
Did you ever play the mirror game by yourself?
Abby had played the game alone too, and it wasn't the first time she'd thought about it.
Remember how Mrs. Lander told us it was like playing with fire? That we could be opening a door for demons or something like that?
Yeah, but I don't believe any of that stuff anymore.
I don't either. But what if it isn't demons? What if it's something else?
Something else? Like ghosts in the mirror?
I know. It sounds stupid.
No, I mean, it doesn't sound... God, I don't know.
It's funny how the mind works. Just a few hours ago, I was cowering on top of my childhood bed after something walked out of my closet and disappeared. And yet, I was desperately searching for a way to say that I didn't believe in ghosts.
How would that even work, anyway?
I have no idea.
A thought crossed my mind, and I hesitated for a moment. But then, I decided that it needed to be said. I told her that it wasn't just us seeing things since Emma died. I pulled up the messages that Kaylee had sent me. Something was happening to her, too. Abby rolled her eyes when she saw the profile photo. But then she read the messages.
Okay, yeah, there's definitely something going on. What about Jess? Has she ever said anything to you?
She hadn't, but Jess didn't seem like the kind of person who would offer up that she was seeing ghosts. Not the Jess we knew in middle and high school, and definitely not the Jess we'd seen at dinner last night. She was a doctor. I just couldn't imagine it.
You said Kaylee was coming in. I think maybe we need to get everyone together. We need to figure out if it's happening to everyone else.
We kept talking for a while. It was a lot to take in. As the orange and purple of dawn became the deep blue of morning, Abby and I were both overwhelmed and exhausted. But there were two questions lingering. What is actually happening to us? And what are we supposed to do about it? For now, the answer to the first question is, we don't know. And the answer to the second was, nothing, until we've gotten some sleep. We made a tentative plan to try and get everyone together that evening. The two of us, Jess, and as much as Abby didn't want to admit it, she knew Kaylee needed to be there too. Kaylee would be landing in Louisville that afternoon. The idea of the two of them in the same room was already starting to make me nervous. Before we left, Abby looked something up on her phone, and then she turned it to me. It was the website for the local newspaper, and there was Emma's obituary. Abby had mentioned bumping into Emma's mom and learning about the obituary and funeral plans. Emma's mom had been like a second mom to all of us. Back then, we'd been familiar with everyone else's parents. Jess's parents weren't too strict and had good food in the house. Kaylee's were strict, and at their house, we couldn't watch rated R movies or listen to the music we liked. Abby's dad died when she was in college, which made her story of hearing his voice on the phone all the more haunting. Mine? My dad was out of the picture, and my mom had to work double to keep up with everything. Emma's mom had been especially close to us, considering that's where most of the sleepovers happened. I thought about the prospect of having to see her again under these circumstances, and I hated it. I drove back to the city that morning. Abby had offered to let me stay at her place, but I needed my own bed, in my own space. When I got home, I fell into bed. I was out within moments. I woke up in the afternoon, disoriented and groggy. I really needed to get back on my sleep schedule and back to work. I didn't want to be burning through this many PTO days. There was a message waiting for me on my phone. Kaylee had landed about an hour ago. She'd gotten a hotel room back home and was on her way to unpack and decompress. She asked if I wanted to get together later. Everything seemed normal. No hint of the strange messages I'd received a couple of days ago. Maybe the shock of the news had just gotten to her. People react to bad news in all kinds of ways. I wrote her back and said that we were actually all planning to meet up that night, and we'd love to have her there. She sent a simple thumbs up. Through the phone, I could feel her own sense of dread at being in the room with Abby. But that was a problem for later. I needed a shower. I peeled off yesterday's clothes and turned on the hot water. I had a moment of pause. An irrational fear came over me. As far as the source of all this, Abby and I had both come back around to the mirror game the night before. And now, standing in front of the bathroom mirror, I couldn't shake the feeling that I would look up and see something. Something wrong in the reflection. That maybe it wouldn't be my face and my body looking back. Or maybe it would be me, but I'd be wrong somehow. Like my movements wouldn't match. They'd be just a little off, a little delayed. Or maybe my expression would be wrong. I told myself I was being unreasonable, but the feeling was still there. Finally, I looked up. It was just me. I put my phone down on the edge of the sink and stepped into the hot water. Abby must have slept in too, because while I was in the shower, I could hear my phone rattling on the counter. There were several messages in a row from her. The gist of it was that she'd sent Kaylee a friend request this morning before going to sleep. Kaylee accepted sometime after she landed, and the two of them had been talking directly. She'd also reached out to Jess, and while Jess hadn't said anything about strange things happening to her, she listened to what Abby had to say and decided to come along. That was probably the closest we would get to confirmation from Jess. At least for now. I guess I'd be driving home for the third day in a row. We decided on the same place that Abby, Jess, and I had gone the night before. When we all arrived, we got a table. Things didn't actually feel that tense with Kaylee and Abby, even though they chose seats as far away from each other as possible. I hadn't asked Abby how much she'd said to Jess, and I wondered whether she knew why we were here at all. We rehashed the same memories of Emma as we had the night before, but for Kaylee's benefit, since she hadn't been there. It was the first time we'd all been in the same place in over 10 years, and the first time we'd been on speaking terms for even longer. Our drinks came, and then food. I was anxious to start the conversation about what had been happening to us, but every time I thought we were about to start, someone piped up with a new subject. We were dancing around it for a little while, and I wondered if we would bring it up at all, or if we would all collectively chicken out. But finally, there was a moment where everyone looked around at each other, and Abby finally brought it up.
So, I guess we should probably talk about it, huh?
There was silence for a moment. Everyone's demeanor changed, If Abby had been hoping that someone else would pick up and take it from there, she was wrong. She went on.
Sounds like we've all had some strange things happen this week, and I think we all have a feeling about what might be going on.
It was painful to watch, and I wished more than anything that I had something to say, a way to release the tension that she must have been feeling. But I was also at a loss. Sure, in a lot of ways, it was like picking right back up where we'd left off. But in other ways, it felt like we were meeting each other again for the first time, as new people, as adults, real adults. Just as I thought the tension couldn't get any more unbearable, Kaylee spoke up.
So we think that it has something to do with the mirror game, right? That we played it, and now weird things have been happening ever since?
Abby looked relieved that someone else had joined in.
Yes, exactly. More specifically, that we played the game alone. I guess that's the first thing we have to figure out.
Abby gestured to me.
We've already talked about it a little. We played the game alone after everything happened. We broke the rules, and then things started happening.
Everyone looked around the table.
What do you mean we broke the rules?
Remember, we were supposed to hold hands to create a ring of protection and tell a secret to make ourselves vulnerable and prove our love for each other.
Kaylee rolled her eyes. I hoped no one else noticed, but it was too late.
I don't know why you're giving me that look. I know it's been a long time, but I still feel so stupid every time I think about what you did.
You feel stupid? Do you think I don't know that you told my dad about it? Do you think I don't know that you're the reason I ended up in that stupid fucking Christian school where everyone called me a slut?
Well, I didn't have anything to do with that. I didn't tell anyone. I found out when everyone else did.
Hey, it was a long time ago. We need to let it go. It really wasn't you?
No.
I felt heat in my face. I'm sure I was blushing. I hoped it only looked like I was surprised and nervous from the arguing.
I played the game by myself. I played it a lot when I couldn't sleep. It wasn't anything serious. I would just goof around in front of the mirror with a lighter.
It was quiet while the rest of the table was adjusting back to the conversation at hand.
Now that I think about it, it wasn't that much longer before I started seeing Mrs. Lander around. It was the same summer that she caught us playing the game at church. I was walking by the front door, and I saw her car come to a stop in the front of the house. She got out and started walking toward the house. I went down the hall to let my mom know, and when we went back to the front door, she wasn't there. No car, nothing left at the door. It's like I was seeing things. I even saw her over my shoulder in the bathroom when we were in high school.
She paused for a couple of moments.
I sometimes think I still see Mrs. Lander, but she still looks like she did when we were kids. Like she's 35 or 40. She should be in her 60s by now. At first, it was when I was still living here. When I worked at the bakery, there were long lines, out the door sometimes. I'd see her through the glass, and she'd give me this big smile and wave. But then she would never come inside. I thought maybe she turned away, the line was too long, or she was in a hurry. But once I saw her just by the door, the line moved and she took a step forward. And when she passed out of the glass and should have been in the doorway, she just wasn't. Back then, I thought it could have actually been her and my mind was playing tricks on me. But then, when I left for college, I saw her there too. And last night, on the way home, I backed into my driveway and I saw her in the rearview mirror with this huge, grinning mouth and big eyes. And I turned around, and just like always, she was gone.
Abby told everyone about her dad on the phone. She said it even kept on after he passed away. The night before, the same night I saw someone walk out of my bedroom closet, Abby had seen her dad's number come up on her phone. She'd never had the heart to delete it after he passed. She watched it ring until it went to voicemail, and then start again. It did that for a long time. Finally, it was Kaylee's turn. Everyone looked at her.
I don't know. Mine was different than your stories. It wasn't scary. It was just a little weird, I guess. It's actually Emma. I've been seeing Emma ever since I moved. The first time I saw her, I thought maybe it really was her. I saw her in a crowd and then lost her. That she'd come out to LA and we just bumped into each other. Small world, you know. But then it kept happening. I thought it was just someone that looked like her. It was always in public. I'd see her on the sidewalk when I was driving, and then I'd roll down my window and she was gone. But Sunday night, the night before, I came home from work and I flipped on the lights, and for the first time ever, I saw her inside my apartment. She was standing in my bathroom, and she was bleeding from her wrists, and she looked so sad, like she was trying to tell me something, like she was trying to say that she was sorry.
There was a heaviness over the group.
Have any of you talked to anyone about her? Was that how it happened?
We all looked around. No one knew. There had been no mention of cause of death in the obituary or anything posted from her family. Sometimes, what people don't say is just as telling as what they do say.
Do you all know where that game came from? Do we actually know what it is? Like, did Emma make it up, or did she learn it somewhere?
Hang on, let me try something.
Jess started typing furiously on her phone.
I'm gonna see if Reddit can help. Someone remind me what the rules were?
We all had to choose the same question. We had to decide it first, then we all held hands and told each other a secret.
The secret's supposed to be a way to prove our intimacy, or love, or something.
Yeah, it was to show the spirits or universe or whatever that our bond was unbreakable.
In the edge of my vision, I saw Abby roll her eyes just a little. I don't think Kaylee noticed.
Then we all went to the bathroom one by one. We had to be alone. It had to be completely dark, and we could only carry a candle or a single flame or something.
And then we asked our question, and the mirror would show us the answer. Is that it?
I think so.
A question occurred to me. I leaned forward and asked something that I wondered about all those years ago.
When we played the game back then, did you all ever really see anything? I never did. When I said that I'd seen something, I was just trying to fit in. Did you all see anything?
We all looked around at one another, and almost all at once, everyone broke out laughing. No one had seen anything. It was just like my mom said back then. It was a way for us to bring up things that we didn't know how to talk about otherwise. After she made her post on Reddit, Jess kept searching while the rest of us talked. She would occasionally chime in with something she'd found, but there was a lot. She found references to all kinds of games that had to do with mirrors, things as innocent as the Bloody Mary game, all the way to occult rituals. Games like this go way back in time. Some versions of the game were supposed to help you find a long-lost loved one. There were references to Snow White and Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. Another would grant wishes, but you had to leave something valuable as a price. You could wish for a bountiful harvest, but you had to leave some coins or something outside your door. In other versions, You could wish for a bountiful harvest for the whole village, but one villager would die to pay the cost. The game even seemed to go back before mirrors existed. People would ask a question or a favor to their reflection in the water and hope to see an answer. It seems we've always been fascinated and a little bit afraid of our reflections. But none of these exactly matched Emma's game. Some of them even had the same purpose, to ask a question and get an answer. But the ritual was different. Either Emma had made it up, or there were just too many to comb through and find the right one. The conversation drifted away from Emma and the game, and even the tension between Abby and Kaylee seemed to die down. It was nice to just sit with the others and talk. It wasn't as though no time had passed. We were all very different people, but I think there was still a lot of affection between us. At the end of the night, as we were leaving, Abby and Kaylee even hugged each other goodbye. As we were parting ways, Jess's phone vibrated. A notification from Reddit. Someone had commented on her post. The commenter wrote, in all caps, "Oh my God, this is from Ella and the Secret Game." Ella and the Secret Game was a book series for kids. Not really little kids, but like later elementary school. Chapter books for beginners. The story was about a girl that figured out she could play a game with her friends. They all told each other a secret, they agreed on a question, and then they asked a mirror, and they'd get an answer. But what they didn't know was that Ella used the game to cast a spell on her and her friends. Ella could look into a mirror and see any of her friends who were also near another mirror. It was like looking through a window. She could spy on anyone who'd played the game. There was nothing about being alone or being in the dark and only having a single flame. Emma must have added that part. We all hung back as Jess read the post out loud to us. I thought back to Emma's bedroom, wall to wall with bookshelves, filled to the brim with books. Ella and the Secret Game was a series, and it's absolutely possible that Emma had those books. Her room was like a library. I don't know what we were expecting, but no one expected the mirror game to come from a children's book.
So what? We think this is all happening because that little bitch wanted to spy on us?
Kaylee!
Sorry, but come on. This is a kid's book. Maybe, we're all just a little out of sorts, you know? Maybe this is just getting to us more than we know.
24 hours ago, I would have been on Kaylee's side. I could chalk up the weird things from my childhood, like seeing bizarre things in mirrors and figures in my room at night, as mistaken memories and nightmares. But I couldn't deny what happened last night. I noticed the others were looking at her too.
Come on. You can't tell me what I saw was real. You can't tell me that was really her. You can't tell me that's what happened. That's not what happened to her, right? She wouldn't do that. Oh my God.
I think it really hit us all, right there in that parking lot. We were never going to see her again. Jess put her arms around Kaylee. Abby looked at the ground. My eyes drifted to the street and then beyond. The river was as dark as the night sky. There were lights on the Indiana side, where it used to be just forest when we were kids. I remembered how at night, you couldn't tell where the water stopped and the trees began. It wasn't much, the lights. Maybe a couple of houses that hadn't been there before. They reflected warm yellow streaks, waving in the gentle current of the Ohio River. We all parted ways. Abby asked if I was staying at my mom's house again, and I told her absolutely not. I drove back to Louisville, and Jess drove to Cincinnati. Abby went home, and Kaylee went back to her hotel by the interstate. On the drive home, my phone started buzzing. Abby created a group text with the four of us. By the time I was back in my apartment, the conversation was in full swing. It felt nice, the four of us again. I couldn't help but think about how much Emma would enjoy this. It was late, and I had to go to work the next day. I'd used too much PTO already. I brushed my teeth and changed into something to sleep in. Just as I was starting to doze, my phone buzzed and the screen lit up again. I saw the beginning of the most recent message. It was from Kaylee. So we think we know what's going on. Now, what do we do about it? Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been The Secret Game, Part 3. Written by Ian Epperson, narrated by Brooke Jeanette. Kaylee is Shelby Novak. Abby is Kayla Temshiv. Miss Lander is Emma Sherjarko. Jess is Carly Coulihan. And Emma is Abigail Blythe. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Music by Kayla Ritchie.
Since we have so many new patrons coming on, we're going to hold off on listing off the producer-level patrons until our November 13th episode. But until then, thank you so much for your support. Click the link in the show notes if you want to learn more about joining us on Patreon. Check us out on social media. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram under Pod13, and you can find us on Facebook at 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo and you'll find links in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show or contact us about anything else, get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcast.com. You can find that in the show notes, too. Bridget Freeman wants to walk across the railroad bridge with you. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.